Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah to the Lord of glories. He's risen. He's faithful. He's just. He's almighty. He's the creator. What if we spent the next 2 hours from our hearts giving words of affirmation to God, glory, honor, and praise? What if we gave the next hour to that? And then after that, we would sit down and we would challenge our own hearts. Do our lives do that? Does my life do that? Lord, help us. So appreciated the message this morning. And I feel like I was in the prayer room this morning, and there was prayers that we would have our vessels filled today. I believe that there's a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness here. There's a hungering and a thirsting after God. It's beautiful. Is it just today, or is it every day? Do we see the glory of God around us every day? Do I see the glory of God around me every day? You know, I went to bed last night with a little bit of a heavy heart. I was pondering a laying there, wasn't able to sleep right away. But this week, it's two different incidents. One of them I heard about yesterday during the reception, wedding reception. A 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old lost their lives. It was sudden. It was quick. And I wonder, what if that was my child? And it just got me thinking, are we thankful this morning? We know that God makes no mistakes. We know that He is in control of all things. But yet, it still makes our hearts sad. If you think about it, you can pray for those families. They need our prayers. I trust that God will give them the grace that they need to overcome the things, the fears, maybe the doubts that might come into their hearts. I don't know all the details, but we do pray for them in that way. Thankful to be here this morning. Thankful for the messages we've already heard. It's built a building block for my heart this morning, what I have in mind. Brother Andy asked the question when he referred to that verse in Ephesians 5:5. He said, is that me? Is that me? Brother Melvin shared some things that the Lord hates. And he shared with us about getting used to sin. And what does it do to us? Getting used to sin. Do we hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves? I have a little bit of a mixed message this morning. But my heart is, this morning, that we can find higher planes. We can find new ground. We can raise the standard. Raise our standard. God has a standard for us. We tend to create our own standard. Can we raise the standard this morning? I'd like to title this maybe just, Nearer My God to Thee. Just nearer my God to Thee. Searching our own hearts. In James, he says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I think we've already heard some teaching on that this morning. Thankful for that. And then in Matthew, Jesus says, and I'd like for us to get this heart of Jesus right here. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. O churches here today. O people, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen gathereth her chicks? What does that look like? When you can just imagine a mother hen sitting there, and she's wanting to gather her chicks together under her. If we want to come under and be together, there has to be some love and some... You know, those chicks don't just have plenty of space underneath that mother hen. They're all smushed up against each other. And that's how they keep warm too. But they're together. And so our heart's cry this morning is that we can be, it can not be said unto us, and ye would not. And ye would not. But we can be those, we can be gathered together underneath. And we can find the protection, the peace, the comfort, and allow God to protect us from those things. I'd like to read Psalms 139. It's a very common chapter in Psalms here. I'd just like to read it here. I think I'll read it through. And just David's desire there to search his own heart in things that we may not even think we're guilty of, but just his cry to God there. If we can catch the sentiment of his heart. I'd like to read that chapter in Psalms as an Old Testament lesson here. And then later on, we have a couple New Testament lessons as well. Deliver me, O God, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. I'm sorry, that was 140. 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from my spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can grasp the heart of David here. He knew that he could not hide anything from God. There was nothing to be hid. Darkness couldn't hide it. Nothing could hide it. Everything was exposed before God. Search me. Try me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Show me. Somehow we have a hard time grasping that whole thing sometimes. I trust that we do. I trust that we do. So a call this morning to just... part of the call I have this morning is to be real. To be real men. To stand up. To be real. To be true. To be holy. To be righteous. And if we do that, we need to cry this prayer that David cried here in Psalms 139. That's where we have to be if we want to be there. You know, I shared with a brother this past week that I didn't know how to be an encourager. I didn't know how to encourage and to bless people. And that question, that statement I made convicted me a little bit later. You know, if God is in me and I am in God, God will do it. I don't have to try. And so the question came to me, am I real? Am I real? Am I authentic? Am I genuine? Search me, O God. So that's a question I have for each one of us this morning. And I'd like to go through several steps, different things, maybe characteristics of being real, what it might mean. Definitely not all inclusive, conclusive, but just a few things that I have searched my own heart for. If I am real, the joy of the Lord will radiate out of me. Encouragement and blessing will just come out of me. It will ooze out like sweat. It will pour out. It will shine out. Is that where we are? Is the joy of the Lord radiating from my heart? How many of us enjoy talking to an answering machine? I don't. I don't at all. How many of us 10 years ago disliked it more than we do today? Probably all of us. So we get used to it, don't we? Get used to talking to something that's not real, don't we? Get used to talking to something that's fake. How many of us like to make a call and there's someone on the other line or machine on the other line, on the other end, that we're not just leaving a message with, but now we're communicating with? Not very fun, is it? I made one just last week. I almost hung up. It was just that discouraging. Just that sickening to me almost. It's like, I wanted to talk to a person. I wanted to talk to someone that could understand what I was saying, be real. Someone that was real. Someone that wasn't just pre-canned responses. Fake. We don't like it. What do you think God thinks? Does he like it? He created us to worship him and to glorify him, communicate with him, to develop a relationship with him, to be alive, to be real. How many of us have seen, most of us have seen Christians in the world, professing Christians, they speak with their mouth, their decor around them, they have a t-shirt on, maybe they have a cross hanging on the off the rearview mirror. I don't want to be judgmental here, but yet there's things in their life that have sin blatantly showing forth. It's not real. Something's not real. So the challenge I have for us this morning, could that be me? A different version, a different edition, a different color, but the same thing. Am I real? What does it look like to God? Am I real? You know, my wife enjoys plants. I know many of you have spouses that enjoy plants. She likes to take a plant, maybe one that's even not healthy, and nourish it, and water it, and feed it, and get it to grow. Put it on the windowsill, and turn it, and rotate it, and take care of it. What if I brought her for her birthday or anniversary or something, I brought her a big rose in a big pot that was fake? What do you think? Do you think that would be appreciative? The vinyl leaves staring back at her, the petals, no odor, no change, not responding to her touch, not responding to her care. Are we responding to God's touch, his care? Or are we fake? Are we just doing what we know to do and not relating, not responding? What about a brother or sister's touch? What about that? You know, God says we cannot love our brother more than we do him. He says, how can you love me whom you have seen? How can you love your brother whom you have seen? How can you love me whom you have not seen if you can't love your brother who you have seen? And many of us say we've given up our wills to God. We haven't even, or we'll even give up our life for God. We'll give up our life for a brother. We can't even give up our wills. Where are we in this? Are we fake? Or are we real? Are we true? Are we holy? Are we righteous? I don't want to be all negative here, brothers and sisters. I want to wind up inspiring us somehow. But I just want to challenge our hearts this morning. Can we search our hearts? Where are we? It's easy for us to just get used to things, as already the brothers have already shared this morning. We get used to things, and we can get stagnant. We can become fake. It's very easy to become fake. I've been there. What level of fakeness do we have? Maybe we're not totally fake. Maybe that makes us good if we're not totally fake. What about compromise? Can we have a compromised Christian? A follower of Christ? God has asked us, Jesus has asked us to give us our all. He says, count the cost. Give us our all. You young people that have given your life to the Lord, that's a tremendous encouraging to the rest of us. Keep on. Keep on. Be faithful. Keep giving all you have. Keep giving your all. Just the rose, though. If I give a real rose, it would give off fragrance. Yes, it might have some black spots on the leaves. It may have some disease. It may have some bugs that have chewed on the leaves. It may not be perfect. There may be some imperfection there. But the Master's touch can heal those things. The Master's touch can heal those things. And He has the ability to heal those things. What am I? Am I that beautiful rose? Am I that beautiful rose flower in the kingdom of God, in my family, in my community, in my church? Do I respond to the touch of God and to those around me? Do I give off a pleasant odor? Am I easy to love? Am I easy to care for? Am I easily entreated? How real am I? How genuine? We all know that we go to buy something. If we have a choice, we're going to get the real stuff. We all like real stuff, don't we? The imitation leather versus genuine leather, what are we going to buy? We're going to buy the real leather. Yeah, it holds the test of time, doesn't it? It stands up to the test of time. It stands up to a lot more difficulties. It stands up to abuse. It holds true. It's genuine. I just want to share the gravity of being fake here, but I want to follow up with the joy of being real. And along with that, I'm just going to touch a little bit on hypocrisy. That's really what fakeness is. It's nothing less than hypocrisy, and God hates it. God hates it. We heard it this morning. God hates it. Just a few scriptures here in Matthew. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." A heart that's pure, it's 100%, it's genuine, it's real. God forbid, how should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In Philippians it says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere, ye may be true without offense until the day of Christ. To be steadfast, to hold true. In 1 Timothy we can read there where Paul's addressing Timothy and he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that thee also." And so I just want to share just a little glimpse out of that. When we are true, it says the unfeigned faith, the true faith, the genuine faith, it affected the next generation and the next generation that we have record of there. It lasts. It's real. Let's have a burden for the next generation, brothers, sisters. And maybe that will even drive our own true. Maybe that will drive our own desire to be real and genuine. To hang on to the things that God has laid before us. But hypocrisy is something God hates. We could read scripture verses there on hypocrisy. I don't think I will. I think we know. But Jesus does say in Luke, he says, it's like the leaven. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees is like leaven. It spreads among us so quickly. It's so easy to be there, to get there. Fight the good fight. Let's war against these things. Let's hang on to the truth and the promises of Jesus Christ. Here I'm giving you these things. I'm not bringing you solutions. I think we'll get there. But these are things in everyday life that we can fall to so easily. To be real. A real likeness to Jesus Christ. How many of us would all like to hear, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased"? To be real. To fight for truth. To live for truth. We must be devoted. We must be willing to suffer. Willing to suffer. What does that mean? We suffer without complaining. We suffer without murmuring. We suffer patiently. We must make intentional choices to follow after godliness and holiness. We must not lose the wonder of the blood that was spilled for us. The death and the suffering. We must not be distracted by this world. To delight in His promises. Are we real? There was a soldier that was brought before his commanding officer and accused of communicating with the enemy. He had been seen emerging, coming out from an area where the troops were known to patrol. The poor man, the poor soldier, summed up his defense when accused in a few words, stating that he had slipped away just to spend an hour alone in prayer. "Have you been in the habit of spending an hour in private prayer?" demanded the officer. "Yes, sir," he replied. Then said his commander, "Never in your life have you been in more need of prayer than now. Kneel down and pray aloud so we may hear you." Expecting instant death, the soldier dropped to his knees and he poured out his heart to God. His prayer immediately revealed intimacy with the Heavenly Father. His earnest fluency, his humble appeal for divine intervention, and his obvious trust in God, who was strong to deliver, told unmistakably that he came regularly to the throne of grace. The officer said when he was finished, "You may go." No one could have prayed that way without a long apprenticeship. The fellows who have never attended drill are always ill at ease for the review. Is that you and I? When the test comes, are we real? Or does it just look like we're real? Am I real? Will we have a long apprenticeship that we come regularly to the throne of grace, to the feet of our Heavenly Father? One of the characteristics of being real, it's a word that's caught my attention. It may not fit very well with the message here, but I just want to share it, is the word abound. The word abound is a surplus. It indicates a surplus, an overwhelming surplus. And so let's find a surplus of joy. I want to think on the positive things here a little bit of a life in Christ and what it looks like to us. In Romans, Paul says, and I believe if we look at the writings of Paul, we can see his testimony of his life, these things were showing forth. But he says to the Romans, he says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace, the power of God, did much more abound." It became more prevalent. Is that the way, are we feeling that in our life? Do we feel the abounding grace of God? An overabundance of it. And again in Romans he says, "Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope." Do we have that hope? The assurance. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, he says. In 2 Corinthians, he says, "For as sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." "Therefore, ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, See that ye abound in this grace also. Once again, are we feeling the abundance of grace in our lives where God is just pouring out his power into our lives with an abundant surplus so we can take his power and we can live lives that are real? And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. To abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Is our love toward others, is it abundant? Is it overflowing? Is there a surplus of love for one another? This is being real. This is experiencing the reality of God. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us now, ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. That was this prayer for the Thessalonians there, that ye would abound more and more. In 2 Peter, I took that one out of context a little bit, it says, for if these things be in you, I should read the verse ahead of that. Turn to 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, verse 7. I'm sorry, it was 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, verse 7. It says, and to godliness, well, start ahead of that. And it says, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, and by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, these things are in you, and you have a surplus, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a beautiful verse. Those are a beautiful set of verses. If we have these things and they abound in us, it's a beautiful thing. I think that's what our calling, God is. That's like part of the call of holiness that I'm going to get to a little bit later. It's a calling of holiness to a higher place. That's a higher plane. Go. May we have a desire and a hunger and a thirst to go after those things, to seek after those things. Let's just, I think we're just going to turn to Philippians here right now. Very common chapter, Philippians 3. Read a couple of verses. A couple of verses we're very common or very familiar with. I'm just going to start in verse 1 and I'm going to read through verse 17 here. Finally, my brethren. Feels like he's maybe wrapping up his letter here. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He circumcised 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. His credentials were tremendous. But what things were by the world at that time? By what things were gained to me, who I counted lost for Christ? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death,
If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after that which I may apprehend. For that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, to have achieved, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even unto this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. I think I'll stop right there. So the very verse we're used to is, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling for God in Christ Jesus. And so to be real, I think that's what we have to do. We have to keep our eyes. We just recently had a picnic day of our church there, and there was a devotional given about sunflowers. And many of us know sunflowers. The sun comes up in the east and it goes down in the west, and the sunflowers will track the sun throughout the whole day. The bloom, the big yellow head, is set on the sun. It watches the sun devotedly, sun up to sun down, day after day. That's what we're called to do. Like the sunflower. Keep our eyes turned toward our Heavenly Father. He says, I press toward the mark, the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And when I say press, I press toward the root word of press, press is the root word of pressure. Pressure. There's pressure. Let's pressure. Let's strive. We have to fight for it. It's not something that's going to fall into our lap. It's something we have to strive for. It's real. If we want to be real. If we want to be real about it. We have to strive for this. And then what's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? What is the high calling of God? What are we striving for? What are we looking for? The high calling of Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I'm going to go to a couple of scriptures here that gives us a glimpse of the high calling, the heavenly calling. We're called by Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 1 there, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought into you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So here we have, He hath called us to holiness. Holy conversation. In all holiness, He has called us to be holy. Our call to be holy, to be sober, obedient, not fashioning ourselves according to the world. God and sin do not dwell together. In Hebrews, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling is to be holy. In 2 Thessalonians, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Here, the Apostle Paul is given his blessing. He's beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He has called us. First he says, He chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth. Whereunto He has called you. He has called us unto those things. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It's holiness. Sanctification of the Spirit. Truth. It's holiness. Again in 1 Peter it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the grace of the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Steadfast, those who resist and are steadfast in the faith, and the grace of God who hath called you into his eternal glory. It's a calling to be steadfast, to be true, to be real, to be holy, to be called into righteousness, sanctification. All these verses point to holiness, righteousness, sanctification. It's a call for us to keep our eyes on the Son, on the God of heaven. To be real, if we want to be real. So what is holiness? I think sometimes we have holiness watered down. I believe holiness is radical. In today's world, true holiness of God is going to be very radical. It's going to look so different. Because the world is sin, and God is holy. And if we're partakers of holiness, it's going to be something very, very radical. It's going to look so different. And we're not trying to make it look different. It's just the way it is. Because it's truth. And the world is full of lies because it's of the enemy. You know, in a corn plant, we have a seedling. And the seed kernel is called a dicot. It's a dicot seed. But it puts down the first root that it puts down. It goes down to stabilize the seed. It's its first importance. It does not go down to pull nutrients out of the soil. It goes down to stabilize the seed. And it's called the radical. That's what it's called. It's called the radical. And I can just think of the early church being a radical. A holy people. From Christ. And God has called that to each one of us today. In our lives. To stabilize us. Steadfast. To be true. And then after the radical goes down, then it sends out these other roots that will actually feed and pull nutrients into the plant. But the radical. But I believe holiness today will appear radical. But I wonder sometimes if we see it that way, if we live it that way. Jesus said, when someone asks you to go with them a mile, referring to the Roman soldiers, when they had the ability to ask someone to carry their burden for a whole mile, he says, go twice as much. He says, when someone takes your cloak, your coat, give them more. What do we do when somebody takes something from us? Are we holy? Are we that holy? Just holy? Are we able to make Jesus Christ? Can we see that holiness? Can the world see that holiness in us? That radical? It's so different. It's the world upside down. I think that David Brousseau says the upside down kingdom. Does it look that radical? Or are we compromised? Or do we live in some fakeness? So often I think that we are actually concerned about being taken advantage of in our business, in our personal lives. Even our personal lives, even our relationships. I am, sometimes. I have to admit that sometimes we're concerned about being taken advantage of. That's not the way Jesus Christ lived. That's not his commandments. He's actually telling us, offer more when you're taken advantage of. Offer more, give more. You don't have anything to lose. If you've already given it all up, what do you have to lose? Have we given it all? Maybe he does those things to us. He's touching us. He's trying to pull that insect. He's trying to heal us. He's trying to test us. He's trying to help us. And maybe we turn a cold shoulder. Does that make us fake? That fake rose plant. That fake answering machine. What is holiness? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do we want to be seen of men? So to sum some of these things up, I just want to bring our hearts to a higher standard, a higher level of holiness. I need this in my own heart. I need this in my own life. I told you to begin with. I was convicted with the thought that I felt like I had to try to be an encouraging and a blessing to someone. I think I need to seek God more. If His Spirit is dwelling within me, if His holiness is living within me and I in Him, if we abide in each other, it will happen. I need to focus on serving God. Serving the Lord, and let His holiness do His work. Let His grace do His work in my heart. That's what we're called to. That is the calling that we're called to here in when the Apostle Paul says that there in Philippians. He says that's the holiness and the righteousness that we're called to. Where is my standard? Do I have a standard? If I meet the standard, I'm good. I trust we don't. But we can tend to do that very easily without knowing we're doing it. But God's holiness, God's righteousness, it's up here. We have to be constantly reaching for this thing. The trees in the woods, they're always looking for sunlight. They're striving for sunlight. They're not trying to step on their neighboring tree either. But they're heading straight up. They're searching for that. So are we. Are we? Is the question. Do I have a standard? Can I raise the standard? Can I raise my standard? Can I make God's standard my standard? Even in the little things of life, why do I make the choices I make sometimes? When I have a choice to buy something, can we analyze why I chose to buy this and not that? Maybe it's because it was real and one was and one wasn't. Maybe it's because one kind of had a little tickle to the carnal flesh just a little bit more, and it cost 30% more. But yet, it kind of satisfied the carnality, my carnal desire. You know, when we start feeding that thing, it's a monster. And it doesn't quit. It's a monster. And it doesn't quit. Where am I in this? Am I real? Am I responding to the touch of God? He puts these things in our lives every day. These choices. I don't know how true it is, but I read somewhere we make 35,000 choices a day. I don't know if those are intentional, unintentional. We can even get in the habit of making choices that are wrong. But I just want to challenge my own heart in this, is making a choice takes us in a direction. And it is related to the standard that we have in God. Have we adopted God's holy standard, or have we created our own standard? We can do this in our personal lives. We can do this in our homes. We can do this in our churches. And how we do it will determine where we end up. You know, there's been a fair amount of discussion over the last number of years. We see education around us falling in the schools. I know they're in our local area. It's been a big thing because the public schools in our local area do not score well in the state. They don't score well nationally. They're not very good. What do we do? How do we fix something like that? What if we're not scoring well? What if we're not scoring well? When we do this, search my heart, O God. What do we do? You know what the public school system is doing? They're dropping the standard. Then they can meet the standard. And guess what? Everything looks better. Now we have A's. Where we had D's, we have A's. Where we have C's, we have A pluses. We drop the standard. I believe God is calling to us to something better than that. In San Francisco, Los Angeles, they actually removed D's and F's from the grading reports. They actually removed them. It's impossible to fail now. It's impossible to fail. But this is a society we live in. This is a degrading society we live in, and it has its impact on us. It really does. We've got to lift up the standard, brothers and sisters. We've got to, holiness and righteousness, the standard of God, we have got to make known that we're not fake, but this is the standard. It's the righteousness and the holiness of God. Help us in this. We need to help each other in this. That we can help each other. That we can grasp these things. It's about the little things we do even, the choices we make that lead us in places. They also believe that by lowering the standard, it will close the gap between those that are higher achievers and those that are low achievers. So it makes everyone more equal. It makes tests and assignments easier. It allows more people to graduate. Lowers the expectations. Where does that lead us? I would like to think of, if we're reaching for righteousness and holiness, I'd like to think of it as a check valve. Maybe some of your sisters don't know what a check valve is. But a check valve is a one-way valve. It goes, you can put material through it one way, but it won't go the other way. And so if we can have a life, if we can have a goal, not our goal, but if we can adopt the standard of Jesus Christ, of God, His holiness and His righteousness, as we get closer, we don't go down. We go up and we lock there. And then we try some more, or He brings things into our life that strengthens us, and we go further. And as we go further, God will reveal more of His holiness to us. And I believe He will actually feed our appetite for it. It's an amazing thing. Once you experience a little bit of it, you want more of it. And you want more of it. And you want more of it. But if we start looking around us, and we start seeing something, that's where the check valve comes in. Just a little illustration here. It's pretty basic and simple. Paul says in Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. And thou hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. My heart this morning is that we can challenge each other. We're going to be challenged with raising the standard. That I can be challenged, search my heart, O God. Show me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That we can be real. We can be authentic. We can be genuine. I had a neighbor, a landlord, ask me one time. I stopped in to pay him and give him a plate of special meats and stuff. And they kind of tackled me a little bit. They were political. The neighborhood there, and they said, you know, that last levy that passed, we were short one vote to keep it from passing, to raise our taxes. And they looked at me and they said, do you vote? I said, no. Then I had to explain why. Did I feel like a fake? Or did I feel true? Could they see that in my life, that I'm not of this world, but I'm of the kingdom of God? I felt a little bit like a fake when I tried to explain my way there. It's not a good feeling. We will be tried. We will be tested. The world will know. The world will know. We don't have to tell them. They will know. To be real, authentic. A plant that may have some black spots on its leaves. A plant that may be missing a few flower petals. But do we respond well to the Master's touch? Do we respond well to another's touch in our lives? I'm going to read a couple of verses out of James here. And I'll bring this to a close. James 3, a couple, just some verses we're all familiar with, but some of my favorites. It says, in verse 13, James 3:13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But The wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's pure. It's holy. Then peaceable. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. And mercy there. Full of mercy for one another. But we also have to remember that mercy from God as a believer, it can be the shepherd taking his staff and grabbing it around our neck and pulling us back. It could be the shepherd, that mercy from the shepherd, could be the shepherd breaking our leg to keep us from running away. Let's not forget, that is also the mercy of the Lord. And good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It's wisdom that is from above. Those are some verses that I think if we could read. And the other thing I want to say, Colossians 3 is a beautiful chapter. I've just challenged myself to read a couple verses out of Colossians 3 every day and meditate deeply. It is a chapter that is full of holy living. Holy living. I would just challenge us with that. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Am I real? Am I authentic? Am I a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Peter said, Lord, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. We can say those things. What does our life say? What does our life say? Just a challenge. I pray that we can be encouraged and blessed and not feel discouraged. But I would encourage us to find a higher standard, a holy calling. It's a righteous thing. It glorifies God. It's what He's called us for. It's what He's created us here for. May God bless you.